Step through the same door again. An oral notfic written and recorded by Litra. Fandom is Star Wars Rebels. Warnings for temporary character death. A lot of temporary character death. Non-explicit torture. Basically, the Empire being a really terrible place. Seriously, this is one of those stories where it gets worse before it gets better. Also, forced shenanigans. Time loop, Groundhog Day. I'm gonna go ahead and say this is rated mature. Basic plot summary is Callus in a Groundhog Day situation at the finale of season 3. He tries to warn the rebels over and over and over again. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it really, really doesn't.
The idea is this is a time loop. This is a Groundhog Day story. Callus is the one stuck in the Groundhog Day. First loop starts out almost exactly like the episode. He is in the Imperial base. He sneaks into the vents thing and overhears Thrawn's conversation. And he's like, okay, I seriously need to get a message to the rebels. So we show him at the old tower where Ezra was at the very beginning, and he's got the radio set up, and he's sending out his message. And then Thrawn shows up, and we see that the message has been jammed, and Callus attacks Thrawn, and here's where it starts to change, because Callus goes down. Like, first hit, Callus goes down. Does not get the jammer, does not send out his message. Callus wakes up at some time later, tied up in a cell, similar to what happens in the episode, but it's clearly a different time frame, because he's almost immediately brought to the bridge, or he is immediately brought to the bridge. And Thrawn is there, and they are, like, just outside Adlon. They are approaching Adlon. They are about to come out of hyperspace, maybe. They have just come out of hyperspace, but they're on the edge of the system. And Thrawn turns and speaks to Callus, going, ah, you're awake. Thrawn isn't too much for a, like, rubbing salt in the wounds kind of thing, but he does say something along the lines of, you're just in time to see us destroy these rebels. And Callus is forced to watch as they swoop down on Adlon. There was no warning. None of the ships were in the air. They swoop down on Adlon, and it's not a complete massacre from A to Z. The rebels still managed to get a few ships into the air. Those ships are almost immediately destroyed. They do manage to get the shield up, so for a little bit, there's the aerial bombardment onto the rebel base. Then the Imperials send in the ground forces, and unlike in the actual episode, Rex and the others haven't managed to set up a proper defense because they've been under an aerial bombardment. Nothing outside the shield, like, survived. They didn't have the time. They didn't have the resources. So Thrawn's forces march straight up to the dome, and Thrawn is down there with them. He is, like, he's leading from the front, basically. And he has Callus brought with him because, mostly because Thrawn thinks that Callus will try something if they leave him on the ship, which is absolutely correct. That does not mean that he won't try something on the planet, which he does. He tries to attack Thrawn during the battle. They are either on the same transport or he's nearby. He's being kept with near the command stuff. And, like, Thrawn will occasionally ask him questions and Callus is just refusing to answer. But it's almost like Thrawn is using Callus as a sounding board, like working out his own thoughts, even though Callus is like being like, no, I'm not going to, this is a strange kind of torture, but I'm not going to give into it. Then the shield goes down and the Imperial forces march on the rebel base. There's just death everywhere. And somewhere in this, Callus tries to attack Thrawn. Thrawn fights him off, again, mostly because Callus has a concussion and is in cuffs. And, like, it was a 1 in 100 chance before, and now you have a concussion. Sorry, Callus, you are not that good of a fighter. You're good. Don't get me wrong. You're really, really good. But Thrawn has every advantage right now. But between the rebels being, like, the massacre of the rebels and the fight and all of this, at some point, Callus manages to, like, he attacks Thrawn, and then Thrawn, like, knocks him down again, like, sends him away. Like, okay, I have no more need of you. And has his assistant person, like, you know, take him back to the transport. We'll deal with him later. And Callus manages to escape onto Adalon. Of course, there's nowhere for him to go. The rebel base is now crawling with Imperials. The last of the rebels are being hunted down. Callus runs into the wilderness, which, as observers, we all know is not a safe place because of the spiders. So he does run into the spiders fairly quickly, manages to fight off one or two, and then is forced to run again. And he ends up, like, on this ridge up over the base where a few of the, like, very external beacons were, and he realizes that, like, okay, the spiders aren't attacking me because of these beacons. This was the rebels', like, perimeter, and it's not safe. But he can look down on the base from here, and he's looking down on the base, and it's everything that he was trying to, it's just gone. The buildings are collapsing at this point. There's nothing left. And Callus is in shock. He's angry and frustrated, and there's nothing he can do. And in the middle of all of this intense emotion, a voice asks from behind him, like, which side do you mourn? And Callus spins around and, like, about to snap at whoever it is, because that's a stupid question. What is there to mourn down there on the Imperial side? Except the person isn't really so much a person as a giant creature. Looks like part of the landscape. Can't even, does, like, it's the Bendu. And Kallus doesn't know that. But again, we as the audience know that. And Kallus is so frustrated that he, like, he's shocked. And so he doesn't snap out the first thing that he thought of, which is, like, basically a what the hell, like, who would the Imperial, why would I mourn anything on the Imperial side? And instead he asks, like, who are you? And then we actually do get the name of, like, I am the Bendu. Kallus, like, okay, I'm not sure how quick, like, Kallus is still very angry and frustrated and, but he is smart enough that he's not going to let that control him, I think. So he, like, he's clenching his fists and he can't fight this creature. And it hasn't attacked him yet, at least. And, like, so he asks which side the Bendu is on. And the Bendu says his classic line of, he is the one in the middle. He does not take sides. To which Kallus kind of rolls his eyes and, like, you can't afford not to take sides in this. In this, like, and that's his opinion. Like, Kallus has never, like, he could never afford not to take a side in this. But the Bendu pushes at him, like, kind of, not literally, but he asks his question again, like, which side do you mourn for? At this point, Kallus has cooled off enough that he's able to ask his question, his retaliation question, a bit more reasonably. Like, why would I mourn the Imperials? Like, they are the clear victors here. And Bendu is like, ah, but in their victory, they have lost things that they don't even realize. And big metaphors for, like, love and tranquility and peace and all of that. Freedom. They start into this conversation about, like, and Kallus tells a bit of his history that, like, okay, yeah, he's in an Imperial uniform now, but it's, admittedly, it's kind of roughed up. But he is a rebel, and he is also standing, like, between the two worlds. And somehow they, like, the Bendu, it comes around and the Bendu asks, like, or Kallus says it's his fault. And Bendu asks how. And Kallus is like, See, I don't have all the little pieces of the conversation, but it eventually comes around that the Bendu asks Kallus if he would change something. Like, would he change it if he could? And Kallus says, yes, if I could do this day over again, I would. With the knowledge I have now, I could save them. I could. And he doesn't really know what he's saying, except that he's at the end of his rope. There is nothing left for him. For all he knows, that the Imperials are going to wipe the base off the face of the map, then they're going to load back up into their ships and they're going to leave. And Kallus is going to get stuck on this planet with no resources, no ships, no nothing, and he's going to die here with everybody else. It'll just take a bit longer. But Bendu is, like, looking at him in this way that, well, the only thing that Kallus could compare it to is the times that Kanan looked at him, and, or the Inquisitor, when there's something about to happen, or when he's not seeing the whole picture, when they have information he doesn't. And it's not like Kallus is Force-sensitive. Like, he's not Jedi level, but he's not a Force null either, I think. Maybe it's just enough that he's good at reading people, which makes him very good as an ISB interrogator. He can sometimes tell when somebody is lying. Doesn't have anything more than that. It's all gut instinct. But it's enough that, like, right in that moment, his gut instinct is telling him, do it. Whatever this is, go with it. And so he does. And Bendu sends him back. It's not something that Kallus even realizes is happening. It's that, like, there is no, I can send you back to do this again. It's like, would you go back if you could? Yeah, of course I would go back. What would you change? Well, I would change something. And maybe Bendu laughs, and then there's a gust of wind, and Kallus raises his hands, and then the world shifts around him. And he's back in the vents. He's listening to Thrawn, like, or he's maybe about to go into the vents, and he knows, like, he, and Thrawn is there, and they're in the meeting, and he's like, and in his head, he's like, I need to warn the rebels, I need to, and there's the sense of deja vu, because he knows, like, he's in that moment, but he's also, like, a minute ago, I was somewhere else, and the double memories throw him off for a minute, and it's long enough that maybe he gets caught. And maybe he makes a sound in the vents, and one of the people Thrawn is talking to is just like, oh no, what is in there? And they pull him out of the vents, and they throw him into a cell, and they go at him, full on, you know, torture interrogation regime, and he holds out because he knows what he's doing. He always knew this was a possibility. And if, well, he's not going to give up the rebels. He's not going to give up the Ghost Crew or anyone else. Except time passes, and he's not sure how much. But then Thrawn comes in, and Thrawn is looking a little bit worn. Like, his uniform isn't the pure, pristine white that it always normally is. It's a little bit torn up. It's a little bit dirty. And Thrawn comes in, and he plays a set of hollows for him, and he says, like, your friends attacked Lothal. And he plays this set of hollows, and the fleet comes out of hyperspace, and for a short time, it looks like the rebel fleet is going to be successful and, like, take over, but then Thrawn pulls out a set, like, another Star Destroyer zooms in, and they bombard the ships with the planet in the background, like, as, like, if they don't hit the ships, they will hit the planet. And they use, like, so the rebels are like, they're civilian targets under us, we can't let them hit the civilian targets. And they take those hits, and they crash down on Lothal, and the whole of the rebel fleet is Most of the rebel fleet is taken out right then. The others are forced to land on the planet. Some of them have gone to ground. Others, a majority of the others, have been captured. Thrawn, like, dictates how there will be a list of executions. Rebel executions, public executions, where they're going to draw out the rest of the rebels. How this is going to be a major trap, and how they're going to use Kallus as one of the rebels, like they're going to execute. And like among, so it's Kallus and then two or three members of the Ghost crew. I'm going to say Zeb is one of them. I'm going to say Hera. Let's make it Zeb and Hera. Zeb and Hera have been captured. Don't know where the others are, whether they are already dead or whether they have escaped to somewhere on the planet. Thrawn is confident that they will be found, and that this trap will draw them out, and that executing Kallus too, along with Hera and Zeb and the other rebel leaders, will be a point that, like, no matter, it will hit the rebel morale even worse. Because even, like, if they thought they had some secret man on the inside, no, even that person is going to be killed. And that is exactly what happens. They are all dragged up into a public stage execution. There's a brief commotion in the background before a bunch of stormtroopers move in and take down someone, and then the world goes black. And Kallus wakes up in the vent again, or wherever he woke up the last time around, and his heart is pounding, and he realizes that he just died, but he's here, and he's paralyzed, basically, because last time he made some sound, and that's what gave him away, and this time he's, like, internally screaming, but he can't let himself react. And on the other side of the wall, Thrawn is going on about this plan he has to capture the rebels, and how he knows about the attack on Lothal, and he's outlining the exact plan that Kallus just, like, that Kallus witnessed in the last loop. It's like, okay, I know exactly, like, he can't, if he could have denied it in the last loop, he cannot possibly deny it now. He knows that he is in a loop. He knows that he has done this day before, twice now, and both times, everyone has died. And he can't let that keep happening because he doesn't know how many loops, how long he will get. He doesn't know how many chances he will get. For all he knows, it's three strikes and you're out, and this is his last chance. Or maybe it's like the first one doesn't count and this is his second loop. But he can't rely on that. So, he forces himself to stay calm, to stay in control. He exits the vents. He has to get a message to the rebels. And this time he knows that Thrawn is following him. Or that Thrawn is, like, waiting to ambush him. So, but he also knows that Thrawn, in the first loop, Thrawn used the coordinates that he was sending the message out. Like, he never got the jammer in that first time, that first day. So the rebels didn't have any warning. Thrawn used the coordinates where the message would have been sent rather than the actual sending of the message. Same math, but it's a projective model rather than a actual model or something like that. Pseudoscience. So Thrawn, so Kallus knows in this loop that Thrawn does not know the whereabouts of the rebels. And a part of him wants to just, like, if I hang back, if I don't say anything, then Thrawn won't know where they are. But he knows, like, he also knows that they're going to attack in a couple of days. So he has to get the word to them before they attack so that they don't fall into Thrawn's trap. But he also can't let Thrawn follow him and learn the coordinates from him that way. So this time when he leaves the base, he takes a really circuitous route. He doesn't even go back to the tower. He goes to a different location and has to, like, scrounge up some... Maybe he goes to an electronics store or to another, like, maybe even another Imperial base, where he can, like, pretend to have access and send out his mission that way. Because if he can if he can scramble the code enough so that there isn't a proper direction for Thrawn to follow, then maybe he won't be able to, you know, he won't be able to follow it, and Kallus can still get his message out. This doesn't work either. If Kallus is going into another Imperial base, then Thrawn sends word ahead. Once Thrawn realizes that Kallus has left their base, he, like, sends word out that, okay, this guy is the traitor, we're gonna, like, capture on site, basically. Capture for interrogation. Kallus manages to get into the other base, but before he even starts setting up his signal, he is captured, taken into custody. This time, he's not knocked out immediately, but Thrawn shows up not long later and starts trying to interrogate him. And again, Kallus isn't saying anything. 2 days later, the rebels show up, fall into Thrawn's trap, and are all killed, basically. Maybe Zeb and Hera are captured again. Maybe they're not. I'm gonna say they are. And this time, when Kallus is brought up for, like, his execution, he's looking for the other rebels in the crowd, trying to figure out where they are, trying to figure out what their plan is, because if he's done this twice, there's a possibility he'll do it a third time, and he's not willing to die yet. And a part of him thinks that this is his end. And a part of him is waiting for the world to go black for good. But there's another part of him that thinks, no, give me another chance. I can get this right. I know I can do this. I know I can. And he sees several rebels in the crowd, and he sees what they're doing, or he thinks he does. But he tries to stand up, he tries to call out for them, and then the world goes black. And he's back in the vent. And this time, like, his heart is still pounding, but he's able to orient himself almost immediately. And he's like, okay, I know where I am. I know what I need to do. And he doesn't even listen to Thrawn's spiel this time. He just gets out of there, and he's trying to go as fast as possible. He wants as much of a head start on Thrawn as he can get, because if Thrawn's still in that meeting, then maybe he can get a message out before, can get to him before something. Almost looks like it works this time. Almost. Except when he steps out of the, like, he sends off his message, or he tries to, but he, like, records his whole message, trying to send it out, and he's trying to bounce it off more, like, he's sending it in several different directions now. He's sending out, like, 5 different messages, because if Thrawn is gonna capture him, then at least then he won't, the rebels, he won't be able to find the rebels too. But when he steps out of the tower, Thrawn has the tower completely surrounded, and he doesn't even surrender this time. He shouts down at Thrawn that you won't find them. They will get out. And part of him knows that, yeah, his message maybe didn't get out. He sent as much of it as he could, but he doesn't know, like, when Thrawn got there, how much of it Thrawn was able to cut off. And he tried to say as much as he could at the beginning so that they would know, but, and this time he dies by firing squad. He dies right there at the tower before he can be captured, before he can be interrogated, before any of it. And he wakes up in the vents. And a part of him is really frustrated at this, because he doesn't even know if it worked. He doesn't even know if he got the message out. And he starts thinking about, okay, what is the end goal here? Because the end goal for him has always kind of been to save the rebels, to save the crew of the Ghost, to get the message out so that they don't fall into Thrawn's trap. But at the same time, he's in this loop now, and he doesn't know how to end it. He doesn't know if him succeeding in his goals will actually end the loop. And so a part of him is just like, do I need to figure out a way to get back to Adelon to talk to Bendu again? Is the only way to end the loop to talk to this creature again? How on earth, how, by the stars, how is he supposed to do that? Callus knows that Thrawn knows that he is a rebel. And he can jump through as many hoops as he wants, but Thrawn has a lot of bases covered. Still, he has to try. So this is where Callus starts watching, starts testing the waters. He goes out to the tower, but he watches to see, like, when Thrawn arrives. When does, how many troopers does Thrawn bring with him? Does the number change if he leaves earlier or later? When it comes to the message, what is Thrawn's reaction if he does try to send the message off in 6 different directions, or if he tries to send the message off in only one? What outcomes does Callus live longer? What outcomes have more of the ghost crew and more of the rebels surviving? And Kallus gets captured so often that there's not much he can do about it. There's a couple of loops where Kallus just runs off into the Lothal wilderness. And then a few days later, the ships are falling out of the sky. There's a couple of loops where he does that purposefully in order to try to make contact with the rebels who make it down to the planet. And he maybe gets in contact with Ezra, but they can't rescue Zeb and Hera. They try. He spends 4 or 5 loops trying, and he knows Thrawn's plan, and it should, but if Kallus isn't there, the plan changes. So he can't get information from the inside. And Ezra doesn't always believe him. Half the time, Ezra just screams because he's so frustrated and desperate, and he's losing everything all over again. And Kallus knows how that feels. He's been through that every loop. His loop isn't a day, but he's been through that often enough that... But it doesn't work. It never works. They can't save Zeb and Hera. They can't. Even the rebels that make it down to the planet, most of them die within a week at most. That's not a solution. And after a dozen or more loops, Kallus realizes that. And he goes back to trying to warn them ahead of time. He personally gives up on Lothal. There's a couple of times when he tries to replicate his first loop, the first day. He thinks that maybe if he can talk to Bendu, then he might be able to not necessarily get out of the loop, but he might be able to learn more. And there's a part of him thinking that, like, maybe if he can get to Adalon, get down to the planet before Thrawn, or if he can somehow... See, in none of the loops has he been able to talk to Kanan. Kanan has always either died on Adalon or has died getting down to the planet in the loops when they go and attack Lothal. He's been able to talk to Ezra, but on the few loops that he's told Ezra that he is looping, and that Ezra doesn't really believe him, but if he phrases it just right, Ezra will, like, go, well, Kanan says anything's possible with the Force. There isn't really anything that he can... Ezra doesn't know enough about the Force in general to be able to answer any of his questions about how this is happening to him or how to fix it. The few times when Ezra actually seems to believe him, it's more like, well, why didn't you help us? Or why didn't you send a message to us? Or trying to ask about things that Kallus knows won't work, because Thrawn already has contingencies in place for that. So Kallus's new goal becomes to try to get back to Adalon, to try to talk to Bendu or Kanan. He goes through the beginning as he did before. He comes out of the vent. He quietly, but He listens to Thrawn's whole spiel. Then he comes out of the vent. Then he goes to the tower. And he knows that Thrawn is following him. He knows by now that if he moves too fast, Thrawn will order a strike team out. But if Thrawn thinks that he can get Kallus alone and capture him, then he will order the strike team to stay back and set up a perimeter. So he waits. He does not, he knows where Thrawn and the strike team are, so he carefully does not alert them so that they don't know that he knows. And he sets up his warning. And there's so much he wants to say. There's so much. It stumbles, spills out of him. The first few sentences. But almost immediately he realizes that it's not transmitting. And of course it's not. And he didn't mean to, he purposefully didn't set up the signal beams so that, because he needs to get back to Adelon, and this is the only way he knows how. But then Thrawn is there in the doorway, and he's holding up the damn jammer, and by the stars, Kallus is just so frustrated by this point. He just wants to punch Thrawn in his damn blue face. And so he does. And he actually gets a few hits in this time. That now, he hasn't been through this particular fight all that many times. But he's fought Thrawn enough times in enough loops. Most of those fights were very short, given, but he fought Thrawn enough times that he holds his own, at least for a little bit. And then the jammer is destroyed, and he turns and looks at the broken jammer, and he can see that the signal is going out. His message has been sent. And he's so surprised that he completely forgets that Thrawn is right behind him. And then Thrawn punches him, and then he's knocked out. And he does not wake up in the vents, because he wakes up in an interrogation chair. And then he is brought to the bridge. And then he's above Adelon, so at least that works. He has not, the loop has not reset yet. That's a good thing. Sort of. Or at least it's not a bad thing. But see, this time, there are already ships. His message got out, but there aren't enough ships. There's just a few. And he tries to remember what his message was, because it was kind of random. He did not think that it would work, because it didn't work in the first loop. So there are a couple of ships, and these three or four ships jump to light speed almost immediately. And there's activity down on the planet, and Thrawn orders everyone to battle stations to attack the base immediately, and he sends out other ships to track the rebel ships that managed to escape because before they got up a gravity well. And Kallus just is forced to watch the fight above Adelon all over again. Now, by this point, he's gotten kind of numb to this kind of battle. He's seen a whole bunch of space battles where everyone dies. It happens almost every loop. The only loops where it doesn't happen is where he dies before he can see it. So he's gotten kind of numb to that. And mostly he's just sitting back and looking at the numbers. And he notices that, like, okay, so there were those three or four ships at the very beginning that escaped. There were, like, more ships that managed to get into the air this time. The battle lasts a little bit longer. The shield comes up and holds briefly. And maybe the shield doesn't last as long because they bring it up too soon or some such. The Imperials do manage to win the space battle. At some point, the other commander tries to go rogue. And Kallus notices that that's a weak point in Thrawn's command structure / strategy. That if there were more rebels in the air, they could take advantage of that. But there's no way for him to tell them that. Then the Imperials go down to the planet. And this time Thrawn doesn't bring Kallus with him. And that just kind of ruins Kallus' plan. Kallus is thrown back into a cell. And at some point later, someone comes in, either Thrawn or one of his subordinates, to inform Kallus that they are victorious, that the rebels have been dealt with, that Kallus is going to be transferred to ISB command for interrogation. By this point, Kallus believes it. There's no point in bluffing at this point, but also Kallus knows he can't let himself be transferred into ISB. It'll take him forever to die, and the only way he's found to end these loops deliberately is to die. So, he suicides. He suicides by opening a airlock and sending himself and several troopers who were escorting him out into the black. And he has all of maybe 6 seconds where he sees the outside of the ship and sees Adelon behind it. And then he dies and he wakes up in the damn vent. Still, he managed to get more information in that last time around. He thinks that might be something to try. At this point, it's just trying things. He's been through enough loops that he doesn't think he's going to run out. And he also has been through enough loops that he knows he probably won't succeed. Not like this. Not here and now. But if he can, if there's enough leeway, if there's enough of a, if there's, it's something new. It's something new to try. So he heads back out to the tower, and he doesn't let Thrawn know that he knows he's following him, and this time, the whole way out there, he's thinking about what to say in his message, because obviously last time, whatever he said wasn't good enough. It wasn't clear enough. So this time, he tries to say that Thrawn knows about Adelon and he has a trap waiting for the Thal, and he tries to say too much. It's still jumbled. And then he's facing Thrawn, and this time he doesn't have the raw anger that he did in the previous loop. So it's harder to fight Thrawn, but Kallus is a good fighter. And in a one-on-one fight where neither of them have any advantages, well, they're not so unmatched as they might be. And with Kallus doesn't need to win, he just needs to destroy the jammer. And he manages it before getting knocked out. And he gets a little bit of torture, which by this point is old hat. One good thing about looping is that all of the torture, it doesn't stick around. He, as an ISB agent who has tortured other people, knows that it's not day one that really gets you. It's day five. It's day 10. It's when the old wounds are half healed and then the bones are broken all over again. He's always in perfect health once he wakes up in that vent, which is nice. Additionally, he knows that if it gets to be too much, he can just lean into his injuries a little bit, just enough to kill him, and then it'll all end. Well, for that loop. This time, when they go to Adelon, bunch of ships are already in the air. Now, I need to do some fact-checking here, because I know there's a conversation between Thrawn and Kallus on the bridge, but I'm not sure exactly when it is. And for this fic, it would be really convenient if that conversation happened right when Ezra tried to break through the blockade. Because it's not this loop, but it nearly happens this loop. The Ghost and all of the rebels are trying to make it through the blockade. And they're not doing too well. Most of them fall back. Then, on the rebel side of things, there's the plan for Ezra to go and get more help. But when they try to break through, Thrawn catches them. He doesn't know what they're planning, but it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't let them out. He doesn't let them escape. And then they go down to the planet. And this time, when they march on the base, Thrawn keeps Kallus close. And Kallus sees all of it, and he's seen massacres before. He's caused massacres before. But this hits home really hard, even after all the repetitions, because he never saw this the first time around. He's seen massacres, space battles, and executions, but this, he hasn't seen this yet. Not after the shield generator breaks and the base is left undefended. Not with spiders crawling on the edges of the hills as Imperials take pot shots at them and go through all of the supplies that were abandoned because there just wasn't time. And they managed to capture at least a few prisoners. And among them, I'm going to say it's Hera. Hera is dragged up before Thrawn. And Thrawn demands to know where the rest of her crew is. And she tells him that he already killed them. That he shot Ezra out of the sky. That Zeb was killed when the shield exploded. She doesn't know where Kanan is. Kanan went out into the desert. Good luck finding him because he never came back. She thinks that his orbital bombardment probably killed him. As far as she knows, it's just her and Chopper left. And she's gonna spit in his eye while she still can. And at that point, Thrawn turns to Kallus and is like, "You see, this is what becomes of your rebel notions." And for a moment, there's this connection. Kallus and Hera lock eyes, and they both know that this is the end. They can't get out of this. But it's also not the end. Because there are more rebels out there. And once they kill him, Kallus will come back and do this all over again and make sure that he's going to do it better. He's going to make sure that they survive. Thrawn has them both executed there on Adalon. There is, after all, no point in interrogating them when he knows that neither of them will give up anything about their compatriots. And Kallus wakes up in the vent. He goes back to the tower. He thinks about his message even more carefully this time, because he has to tell them a bit, but it has to be short enough that Thrawn won't surprise him. He has to be ready when Thrawn steps in. He gets off half the message he wants. Says that Thrawn knows that he is coming, that they need to run. And then he's fighting. And then he breaks the jammer. And then he's knocked out. And then he's taken to Adalon. And this is so aggravating for him because he knows that there are 100 little things that he could do if he could only tell the rebels. If he could only do some little thing to, like, he has all of this information. He knows that the other Star Destroyer's captain is the weak link in this battle, that he won't follow Thrawn's orders. He knows that if Thrawn is distracted at the right time, there's a weak point in the blockade that Ezra might be able to slip through. He knows exactly how long the shield generator will hold out, and exactly how many ships will die before they retreat if they don't get it up in time. But he can't tell any of them because he just simply does not have access. And maybe he spends a few loops trying to get access. Whenever he's brought up to the bridge, he attacks his guards and then dives at one of the control consoles, trying to get his hands free in time to hit the button, in time to yell out before he's waking up in the vent again. He finds that the most effective way to disrupt the battle is actually to poke at Thrawn. Callus just being silent will sometimes get Thrawn to talking. Thrawn likes, apparently, to have a sounding board, or to explain his thoughts to somebody. Maybe he's just used to it. Sometimes, though, Callus will send jibes back. And often when he does, Thrawn will pay as much attention to him as the battlefield. Which, given distracting one person on a giant battlefield like this, isn't so much. Except that one person is Thrawn. And after enough repetitions, Callus understands Thrawn's strategies. But he also knows that other people don't. That if he can sow just enough confusion. The final loop turns out to be the one we see in the show. He goes back to Adalon. But he never gets to the planet. He sends out his message early enough with enough of a warning that they manage to get the ships in the air. That as he manages to needle Thrawn just enough that Ezra is able to break through the blockade. Ezra has broken through the blockade enough times in enough loops that he knows who is coming. He's made it to the escape pod 3 times. Never managed to get picked up. 2 of those times the escape pod went black. The 3rd time he was picked up by the Imperials. And then the world went black. But it's the best solution he has. And if he can make it to the escape pod, he'd rather die out there than in the bridge. And there's always the chance he can affect more things. It's only been 3 loops, and he's gotten into the habit of, giving things a good number of tries before he gives up and tries something else. And this time he's picked up by Hera. And he's in the ghost when he feels it. He feels Bendu die. And for a moment, he feels lightning over his skin, static electricity and smoke, and he sees Thrawn. He sees a laser pistol. And then there's this ripple. Like an explosion, or like an implosion, because all of a sudden there's nothing but empty space and laughter. And he has the strangest sensation that maybe, right now, Thrawn... he wishes he could see Thrawn's face. Because right now, he has no idea what's going on. And he looks up, and there's Kanan. And Kanan pats his shoulder and says, "Thank you." And Callus can't breathe, doesn't know how to respond. Because part of him is like, I've done so much. I've tried to save everyone so many times, and I've never spoke to you, and you're the only one who might have any idea, and There's this shadow in Kanan's sightless eyes that maybe he understands, even though Kallus can't really describe anything, because this is the closest to victory he's ever gotten. Even when he saved all of the others, most of the time, if he managed to warn them properly, it was at the cost of his own life. He never got to see it. But then, Kanan is walking away, and Zeb's coming up to him, and they're finding beds for everyone, and food, and trying to organize with the other cells, and the Mandalorians to figure out where everybody is going to go, and if they have ships and supplies for everyone in the meantime, and Kallus doesn't really know what to do at this point. He's never been in this situation yet, and there's a part of him, the part that felt the Bendu, well, not die as much as no longer be there. And the part of him that felt that, the small part of him that is force sensitive, knows that the loop's over. He won't be, if he dies again, that's it. But another part of him, the larger, more rational part, is still thinking in loops, is calculating numbers, is counting how many people are on the ghost and who those people are and how many people could be saved, how many people were saved. And then Zeb is dragging him in and pushing him down on a bed and saying, "You need to get some sleep." And he goes along with it, because what else is there to do? And he wakes up the next day, and they're still in hyperspace. And he eats, and he talks, and he calculates numbers. And eventually he crawls back into his bunk and sleeps again and wakes again, and eventually they get to a new base. And he's assigned a bunk there, and at some point he talks to Rebel High Command about everything he knew, everything he knows about Thrawn, about the Empire. And then he wakes up on a new planet, and he walks out onto the landing platform and looks up at the sky, and it's been a week, or maybe 8 or 9 days, and it's early morning, dew still on the grass, barely anyone awake, and it finally clicks that this is what he managed to save, that he has picked his side. And maybe loop it back to the conversation with Bendu, and one of the questions that Bendu asked, "Who do you grieve for?" "Well, I no longer grieve. I grieve for the Empire, for their time is at an end." The end.